Kings chapter 2. When we were leaving the Sunday school class last week, Greta said, "I can't wait to hear what you got to say about this next passage of Scripture." Well, let's read it together. Verse 23, 2 Kings chapter 2. "And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city." Now, before I go on, that little children could be young men. It's not talking about 6 or 7 year old kids. It could be up to, somebody said, up to 39 years old. This could be referring to. "But at any rate, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him." They scoffed at him. They made fun of him. "And they said unto him, Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood, and tear 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria." Let's pray together. Lord, we come into your presence only in the name of thy Son, pleading only his merit and his precious blood. And we pray that we might be enabled to hear your gospel. We pray that we might be enabled to worship you. We pray that we might be enabled to confess our sins. We pray that we might be enabled to rest completely in thy Son and look to him only. We pray that we might be enabled to praise you, and that we would be given your Spirit and your blessing. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for thy great salvation, thy great grace. Now, bless us for Christ's sake. Be with all your people wherever they meet together, those that are sick and ailing. We ask for your hand of mercy to be upon them. In Christ's name we pray. Quite a picture, isn't it? Quite a picture. We have these young men coming up. Let's see what happened right before this, verse 19. "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of waters and cast the salt in there and said, Thus saith the Lord." Isn't that what a prophet is? Thus saith the Lord. He brought the word of God. "I have healed these waters, and there shall not be from thence any more death, nor barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake." Now here's the point of Elisha. He brought the word of God. "Thus saith the Lord." "And he went up from thence unto Bethel." Now, if you'll remember, Bethel is one of the cities where Jeroboam set up the golden calf. It was a place of idolatry. It was a place where Baal was worshipped. And these young men had grown up with this. And these young men did not like Elisha or what he had to say. "And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him." Now, I've been mocked because of my bald head before. I've had people make fun of me. I think of poor old Steve. Dave. The point is, people do that. You know, I've had people make fun of my bald head, and I didn't turn around and curse them in the name of the Lord. And yet, look what we have going on here. This prophet curses them in the name of the Lord, and two she-bears run from the woods. Now, this is important, a she-bear. A she-bear. What is a she-bear? It's one who's been robbed of her cubs, and this is about the most dangerous thing you can think of. If a bear has, a sow, is that what you call them? A woman bear? She's been robbed of her cubs, and anything that comes in her way, she's going to tear into pieces. And that's what happens at this time. The Holy Spirit points out that it's a she-bear to let us know what's going on. I guess these kids got close to their cubs, and they came out of the woods and tear 42 children. And here they say to Elijah, "Go up, thou bald head." Now, there might be more to this than just making fun of his bald hair. In the scripture, hair speaks of strength. Remember Samson? The vow of the Nazarite, they had that long hair, and if it was cut off or shaved off, they would lose their power. A woman's glory, the scripture says, is her hair. So hair represents something to do with strength. And they were saying to him, "You have no strength. Won't you go up like Elijah did?" They knew about Elijah going back up into heaven. Everybody knew about that. People witnessed it. And they're saying, "Don't you have the same power he does? You go up like he does. What's wrong with you? You are somehow inferior to him." Or perhaps they're saying, "We wish you'd go up like he did and get rid of you. We don't want you here anymore. Leave. Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head." And Elisha turns around and curses him in the name of the Lord. Now, this is a passage of scripture that all my life, it's troubled me. That seems kind of severe, doesn't it? "Go up, thou bald head," and he turns around and curses him in the name of the Lord, and 42 children are killed as a result. Two bears come out of the woods and tear them. I think it's interesting that I read several commentaries on this. None of them knew what it meant. But they were saying perhaps they were just injured and not killed. I would have never thought that reading this passage of Scripture. The 42 children were torn. And with God, the punishment always fits the crime. Amen? With God, the punishment always fits the crime. Now, the key to understanding this is a she-bear. If you get in between what's most precious to her, you're in trouble, aren't you? Everybody is aware of this. This is about the most dangerous position anybody could be. And if you get in between a bear and her cubs, you're in trouble. She's going to rip you to pieces. And so the thought behind all of this is, what is most precious to God? Well, you could say his glory, and you'd be telling the truth. You could say his son, you'd be telling the truth. You could say his people, you'd be telling the truth. You could say his word. Would you turn with me to Psalm 138 for a moment? I don't even know what to say about this verse of scripture. Verse 2, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth." Now look at this statement. "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Now I wish I knew what to say about that, but I think it's best. There it is. The Lord God has magnified his word above all his name. Now, The Lord Jesus Christ is called what? The Word of God. Now, how would we know that without the written word? And how would we know that without the word preached? The word, the message from the written word that reveals the living word. And God says, I've magnified my word, thou hast magnified thy word above, beyond all thy name. Now, is there any question how precious God's word is to him? And it's precious to the believer as well. Oh, I want to hear his word, don't you? I don't want to hear the word of a man. I don't want to hear the word of religion. I want to hear his precious word. Now, what was Elisha? What did he do? He brought the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. He brought the word of God. Now, these people came out of Bethel, and they had no appreciation for the word. And so what do? They begin to scoff at Elisha. They began to criticize Elisha, criticizing his ability to be like his predecessor, Elijah, criticizing his weakness. You don't have any hair. You're just weak like other men are. They begin to criticize Elisha. Now, with regard to any man, me, you, if you want to look for something to criticize, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. If you would want to criticize me, man, stay around me for an hour and you could find all kinds of contradictions and inconsistencies and say, man, what? But I can do the same with you too. That ain't a problem. That's the way men are. We can all, but these fellas did not like the word of Elisha, so they began to criticize him. I think any preacher can tell you, I've heard this so many times, I've heard other preachers say it, when somebody gets, they don't love the truth, they don't love the gospel they're hearing, if they begin to turn away, they can't find a scriptural reason to justify what they're doing, so they start, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You're bald-headed. You lack some kind of strength. I can't hear you. I've had people write me that and tell me that. I've had letters written to me where they said, the reason I'm not coming is because of you. You're not handling this situation right. I've heard that many times, and every preacher has. And I have no doubt that this is what is being taught in this passage of Scripture. Yeah, the she-bears is what tells me that. That when someone, God is so protective of his word, and they were making fun of it. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 16. And this is the Lord speaking to the 70. He's not just talking about the 12 apostles. You remember when he sent out 70 disciples to go and preach the gospel? Look what he says. He that heareth you, heareth me. Now when I'm hearing a God-called preacher, I'm hearing Christ himself. Are you saying all of his words are infallible? Well, you know I'm not saying that. But this is what the Lord says. With regard to the preaching of the gospel, he that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me. Now what these fellows who were making fun of the prophet were doing, they were despising the one the prophet represented. Not the prophet. Elisha didn't need to take this personally. They were despising the word of the Lord. Now, want to warn myself. I found myself before becoming critical of the man I'm hearing, seeing faults, seeing inconsistencies, seeing contradictions, and thinking I can't hear him. And whenever I do that, whenever I've done that, it's really my problem. Because in this thing of being critical, or the way they were doing the prophet, in this thing of being critical, like I said, it's easy to criticize anybody. And it's not love. If I become critical of you, it's because I'm not practicing love toward you. That's the only reason. And so that is what is taking place. God's prophet is nothing, but he is bringing the word of God. And when these people are criticizing him, it's not really him. It's the word. Now somebody says, can that happen with a believer? Can believers get into a mess like that? Well, turn with me to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, they had a scriptural reason for disagreeing with Moses. Moses should not have married an Ethiopian woman, only a Jew. Only a Jew. The Jews were forbidden to marry outside of Jews. You turned other gods. And he married an Ethiopian woman. And so they thought they had a gripe against him. And somebody could look at it and say, well, they did have a legitimate gripe. Did they? Verse 2. And they said, here's what really was behind their criticism of Moses. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? You're taking too much on yourself, Moses. You think you're the only man the Lord uses. This is the criticism of him at this time. And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He wasn't going to reply to them. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And these were all believers. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle and behind Miriam, because, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherewith we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, and he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness to Paran. Now we see the Lord was displeased with their criticism. He was very displeased. And you see what took place as a result of that. Now, what do I want to learn from this? First of all, don't you hate being critical? I hate being critical toward people. Lord hates it. it's the thing that is, anytime I'm like that, I'm being judgmental. And if you know yourself, you know you don't have a throne to throw at anybody about anything. If you really know yourself, and the idea of becoming critical of somebody, if I become critical of you or you become critical of the preacher, it's wrong. It's self-righteous. It's just flat out wrong. And the thing that is, let me remind you, if you want to find fault with me, the sky's the limit. Somebody thinks, you ought not be that way then. Well, I agree. I agree. Same goes for you. And I want to have a gracious attitude. And I want to say, Lord, speak to me. Yes, the instrument is a man, a sinful man. A weak man, just like me, just like you. No difference. However sinful you are, that's how sinful the preacher is. And every preacher knows that. Painfully aware of it. Painfully aware. I think this is funny to say this. I want to take heed. I want you to take heed with this critical spirit to where you can't hear lest two she-bears come out of the wood and devour you. I just like saying that. But that is the teaching, and may the Lord deliver me from a critical ear and give me an ear hungering to hear the gospel. I love what James said, and this is his word to me, this is his word to you. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to respond, slow to wrath, slow to popping off at what they are hearing in disagreement, if it's the truth. And with regard to Elisha, these young children, they couldn't defend their position scripturally. They couldn't say, well, this is wrong because the Bible says this. And they couldn't. So what did they do? They just started criticizing his character, his person. You know, people do that in every walk of life, even in politics. If somebody disagrees with somebody politically, well, they'll just start attacking their character. That's going on so much right now between the Democrats and the Republicans, trashing each other's character in disagreement, and maybe not even able to give an intelligent defense of what they're saying, but they just trash their character. They're just bad people, you know. May the Lord deliver us from that immature, childish way of thinking, and may we be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you will take this word and bless it to our hearts and be with us in the service as we go out. In Christ's name we pray.